Welcome to the Helping Families Be Happy podcast, where we explore the often messy world of family, love, and relationships. I'm your host for this podcast, Christopher Robbins, the co-founder of Familius Publishing, husband, father of nine, author, fly fisherman, and backpacker based in the beautiful Central Valley of California. We hope to bring you nourishing, real-life information about love, family, relationships, and life. Now, I'm happy to introduce today's guest, Catherine Thompson. Now, Catherine is a writer and speaker living just outside Seattle with her husband and three children. When she's not writing, Catherine works as a web designer and a consultant for small businesses and nonprofits. She can often be found with knitting needles in her hand and a Taylor Swift song stuck in her head. But Catherine is also the author of three books, Drops of Awesome, Buckets of Awesome, and 532 Ways to Be Awesome. Now, today we're exploring laughter and play in our families. Research shows that incorporating play and laughter in our family environments reduces stress, improves communication, improves emotional well-being, and strengthens relationships. This podcast aligns with the Familius habits, talk together and play together, and of course, laugh together. You can learn more about the Familius 10 Habits of Happy Families by going to the Habit Hub blog on Familius.com. For the video of this podcast, please go to the Familius YouTube channel. Now, Catherine, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
It's good to have you here. Now, let's start out by just helping our audience know a little bit about why you are so awesome, because it does lean into having a great sense of humor. So tell us, where did this awesome concept come from?
The awesome concept came, I started blogging when I was going through some pretty rough postpartum depression after my son was born. And it was a way for me to reshift how I thought about the world. So I would take something really hard that was happening in my life and I would think, what is funny about this? And then I would write funny stories with my blog and they would resonate. And one of the blog posts I wrote that resonated the very most was just a little bit about self-discovery that I had. I was walking my son to the bus stop one day and it was a beautiful day and I was being a great mom and I was walking him up there and I had this just a horrible thought in my head. You're faking it. You're not a good mom. Yesterday, you guys were late for the bus. You didn't feed him a great breakfast. All of these things were coming to my mind about why, even if today seemed great, it didn't matter because I wasn't doing this every single day. And I was basically an imposter. I'm faking it. And normally I would listen to those thoughts and they would get me really down. And there was something about that day that I just got mad. And this thought popped into my head, drops of awesome. And I'm like, is that even grammatically correct? I don't know. But the idea was that like every little tiny thing that I did right counted towards this. I visualized a bucket of awesome in my head. And I would think, oh, I'm walking him to the bus. I'm holding his hand. I packed him a lunch. Those are all little drops of awesome that add as evidence to tell me who I really am as a person. And you can't lose from that bucket. And it doesn't drip out the next day if you don't do all the exact same things perfectly. But it gave me this momentum to start realizing I'm happier and I'm more motivated to do good things if I get credit for doing those good things, if I celebrate them, if I can laugh about it and be excited about it. The whole rest of the day, instead of thinking about the things that went wrong, I would think about every single thing that was going good. And it would make me want to do more things. It want to make me add more awesome to the bucket. So things as silly as a Tootsie Roll wrapper that was on my front porch that had been there for months since Halloween. And I went to step over it because every day I'd see it there and I'd go, I don't have time to clean this porch. And then I'd go in the house and I thought, I could just pick up this one wrapper and that's a drop of awesome. And my porch wasn't that gross. There was a wrapper on the ground. I picked it up. I said, that's a drop of awesome. Or normally I would see it. Even if I picked it up, I think, how did I just let this sit here for so long? I'm a terrible person. I found through experimenting, starting then, like if I'd walk through the kitchen and put one dish in the dishwasher, even if I didn't have time to clean all the dishes and put them all away, then I could have this little party in my head. And it made my life so much more joyful. And I started doing things that I hadn't been motivated to do before because I wouldn't be listening to the negative voice telling me it wasn't enough.
That is a great story. And everyone deserves to acknowledge their own drops of awesome. I'm just curious when your book came out, how did people respond to this, that they could discover their own drops of awesome? They could record their own drops of awesome. They could actually when finished with one of your books, they could have an entire autobiography of their drops of awesome.
Well, this book has been amazing. And people that I've talked to, I've talked to people who were so excited about this and who were like, I needed someone to give me permission to recognize the good I was doing. I needed someone to tell me it was okay. I had one reader that came up to me and told me a story about a day that she had done service for a ton of different people. And she ended the day with going to get herself food. And she picked food up from the drive-thru and she saw a person sitting on the side of the road that looked like they were having a hard time. And she picked up food for that person and she drove to try to give them the food. And she handed them the food. And then she drove away and thought, I ordered more food and better food for myself. Nice try. Like, I'm acting charitable. I'm acting like I'm helping someone. Now I'm going to eat even better food than they had. Anyway, she was just beating herself up, doing amazing things. And this is like hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of people have told me stories like this. And the idea of keeping track of that good and listening to the positive voice rather than the negative voice in their head really made a huge difference for them. And the books are so cute. They're so well designed. As you fill out your drops of awesome, there's like a bucket on the side with raindrops that the pages fill up as you go along. It makes it fun to do. And it's just a cute book to have in your pocket. And I've talked to several people who've shown me their journals just full with all of their goodness. And it just makes me emotional when people show that to me, because that's who they are. You can't be defined by something you're not. You can only be defined by the things you're actually doing and participating in.
Advice. We can all acknowledge our drops of awesome. So let's move to some ideas of play and humor. So you have this great sense of humor. And as I said, that, you know, that Tootsie Roll wrapper, you know, instead of, that's funny. You had stepped over it so many times and you finally gave yourself the permission to pick it up and acknowledge it as a drop of awesome and finding humor in that. So you've had some challenges in your life. You talked about postpartum depression. You know, I think that your husband at one time was laid off. I think you've had some health issues in your life. And you've approached each of these with a sense of humor and some laughter. Could you share some stories with us that might help our audience just connect with this idea that even in the most difficult times, we can find a way to find humor and laughter?
I really think that's the only way that you get through the hard times is by joking around and laughing. And it's not, you're not making light of a hard situation, but you're finding the light that's in that hard situation. And you're finding ways to connect and to like solidify your family relationships through humor so that you're working together as a team to get through it. My husband, there was a huge layoff at his company. They laid off a large percentage of the workforce and he lost his job. And it was devastating. Honestly, can't remember feeling that unmoored and scared as when we found out. Like, it was awful. We'd never been without a job before. We didn't know what we were going to do. And there were all these other people in our area who were also looking for jobs, which was scary. So we sort of felt sad for a minute. And then I said, hey, wait, when does your badge expire? The kids need free chocolate milk. You know, that that was one of the benefits of his company is that the kids could get free chocolate milk. I'm like, we're coming down there. But we went and we took pictures and we played games and we did silly stuff and we drank as much chocolate milk as we could. And we went to the big fancy cafeteria and the kids, I don't think ever saw this as being like a sad, terrible thing. We were like celebrating that it's been so amazing to work here. And we brought friends, some of the kids' friends, and went and ate at the fancy cafeteria. And we had just this big play day where my husband is just feeling like, I don't know what I'm going to do next, but we're like, we're going out with a bang. We're going to make this amazing. He reached out to a bunch of business contacts. And then that night he's like, I haven't updated my LinkedIn profile in forever. And I said, could we make it fun? Like, what can we do to get your LinkedIn profile and make it fun? And I remember laying in bed that night and we'd been sad. We've been trying to keep up a good face for the kids. And we started just riffing on ideas for how to update his LinkedIn profile in like a funny, silly, engaging way. So he's like, what if it was clickbait? What if my whole LinkedIn profile for trying to get a new job was clickbait? So we're thinking of things like, how Dan worked at Megacorp for 10 years thanks to this one weird trick. Or like, what Obama doesn't want you to know about Dan's Microsoft experience, right? So we're making up every like funny clickbait article we could think of. And I remember just laughing so hard I almost cried. We were giggling like little kids, laying in bed, thinking of all these ways we could do it. Now, did we have a friend come up to him and say, I read your LinkedIn profile. It doesn't seem very professional. I don't think you're going to get a job with this. And Dan was like, I don't care. Like, it changed the entire tone of the job search. It made it into this just funny, fun adventure. And we were like a comedy writing team that were creating this thing. And he got a job really quickly after that. And I think part of the reason was they thought he'd be someone they wanted to work with, right? He was funny and he was an interesting person and they wanted to work with him. But even if that hadn't worked out, like, our attitude towards it completely shifted when we just made it kind of into a game of finding a new job.
Two great examples. Really fun. Very clever. And I would say from just a marketing point of view, you clearly differentiated Dan from everyone else on LinkedIn. What was it that Obama didn't want us to know about Dan?
You clicked it. What does Obama not want you to know about Dan? And it was just a straight up resume, right? Oh. But it was the whole point. But the whole point of clickbait is it's like what Obama doesn't want you to know about vegetables. And then you go to the page and it's like, carrots might have pesticides on them or whatever, you know, and it's just like, why doesn't Obama want me to know that? What was that link I clicked on, right? So it was mostly headings and links that then just had really good professional experience linked to them, but.
Very funny.
Yeah, it was so fun.
Now, you had, you said to not, you don't make light of things, but you use humor to maybe even strengthen yourselves emotionally, improve communication, as we talked about. You had a serious health issue in your family. Can you talk about that and how you used humor in that circumstance?
Yeah, and it's helped because the person struggling with the health issue has a great sense of humor, really likes a little dark humor in her life. So you got to gauge this based on who the person is. But my 20-year-old last year was diagnosed with thyroid cancer while she was trying to do college. And we found out shortly before Christmas that she was going to need to have her thyroid removed and be on medication replacements for the rest of her life. For some reason, that was extra scary after the COVID shutdown and all the shortages of medication, where I was just thought, surgery is fairly straightforward, but she has to have this medication the rest of her life to live. And that was really scary. We were all, obviously worried. And she came home and we're getting ready for Christmas. And we're like, it's your thyroid's last Christmas with us. We want to make it really special. So we named her thyroid Royd. And I got to work. I stayed up all night knitting this tiny little red stocking that's identical to the rest of our family's red and white stockings, but tiny. And I knit a little R onto it for Royd. And the stocking was just full of like really little things like candy and stuff. But then I used a toothpick and I wrapped it in tinfoil and made like a little sword for it to fight the cancer off. And got down on Christmas morning, there's all of our family stockings and this little stocking for Royd. And she just laughed so hard. And we did that continuously throughout her cancer treatments. I can't tell you all the jokes. Like, some people would be really traumatized by this, but this kid is like, this was exactly her love language. This is what she needed to do just to joke it and laugh it off. She ended up with a scar across her neck. And our family joke is that, you know, people, when they're threatening you, will go like this. And she's like, I am so much better at that now. She's like, you can do this. And people go, really? And I'll do this. And they're like, oh my gosh, she is serious. She's really going to follow through on that. Or like a friend bought her a stuffed thyroid. She's like, you don't have a thyroid anymore. Here's a company that sells stuffed organs with eyeballs and they're really cute. We took the stuffed thyroid and we stuck it in a giant glass cookie jar. And whenever anyone came over to our house after the surgery, we would tell them, hey, do you know that we got to keep Claire's thyroid after the surgery in a jar? And they'd be like, oh, really? And we'd say, yeah, do you want to see it? And they're kind of like, this is weird that they're offering this, but okay. And then Claire would pull out this jar with this yellow stuffed googly-eyed thyroid in it. And they'd be like, oh my gosh, okay. it's all the way through it. We would laugh about what was going on. And I think the key is it was never at the expense of Claire. And it was always following her lead and her sense of humor and what she liked. And I think that's the biggest sort of line for us in our humor as a family. Like, we love joking around. It's constant. There's some really funny people in my family. But the line is we don't laugh at people and we don't laugh at their expense in our family. So she was in on the joke and she was part of it. And it was a really great way to get through something super hard.
Catherine Thompson, visionary of awesome, creator of Drops of Awesome, always finding ways to laugh at life's misfortunes and find ways to make the day a little bit better for herself and for everyone else. Now, just give us, when things bad happen, because they do, help our audience and to see, you know, what is the first thing that we should do when something bad happens in our lives that can help us turn toward a little laughter?
I think my number one piece of advice would be not to take yourself super seriously. When you notice yourself like getting really like worried and agitated, stopping and like, I will literally just stop and be like, this is terrible. Why is it funny? I just ask myself, what is funny about this situation? And there is always something hilarious, even in the darkest and worst situation. And it's like a tangible thing where I stop when it's overwhelming, I stop and just literally ask myself that question and write it down. What's funny about this?
That's a really good idea. What's funny about this? Let's stop, take time to think, and simply ask ourselves, what's funny about this? And that can help us better frame our next best steps. So, Catherine, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. So much fun. You are an inspiration to all of us. Where can our audience find you online?
You can go to katherinethompson.net, and that's sort of like a hub for all of my books and design and everything that I'm working on. If I have speaking engagements coming up, they will be on that website.
Right. And that is Thompson, spelled Thompson, correct?
Yes. And Catherine, Kathryn. You could also go to dropsofawesome.com and that'll link back to the hub as well.
Dropsofawesome.com. Well, as we conclude today's podcast, I'd like to thank Familius Publishing for their support in bringing the podcast to your ears and your heart. We'd be thrilled if you subscribed to the podcast and left us a review. And when you're ready for that next amazing book adventure, we'd be honored if you chose a book from Familius. One step at a time, one drop of awesome at a time, we can make the world a happier place.